The following is a questions and answers session given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 3rd, 2016 in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavari Pashchat Yadesha Tarine. So, I would like to welcome each and every one of you here for this question and answer session. This shows that you have some seriousness about becoming truly happy in life, actually realizing your true natures as spiritual beings. So I'm very happy that you all have come. Each and every one of you is giving me happiness by being here tonight. So I thank you all for being here. So if there's any questions, someone can start off with a question. Do you have any questions? Yes.
There is happiness all around us, but we cannot find it.
Yeah, it's just like the internet. It's everywhere, but unless you have a way of logging in. It's like with a smartphone, you can log into the internet, but without the proper instrument, you can't log into the internet, you see. So in the same way, you have to have the proper, you have the instrument called consciousness. If your iPhone is broken, you see, you can't log into the internet with it. So you have the proper instrument for logging in or connecting with that spiritual happiness, all-pervading spiritual happiness. But your consciousness is out of order right now. That's why you need a repairman. That's the spiritual master. He teaches you how to put your consciousness in proper order so you can actually connect with that spiritual happiness. Brahma Saukyam Tvanantam is described in the Vedic scriptures. That unlimited happiness that goes on increasing forever, you see. That happiness is available. But if one is not properly situated, one's consciousness is not properly situated, then you experience a different type of happiness. That's called material happiness, which is up and down, sukha dukkha, up and down, bouncing in the modes of nature. But actual happiness is beyond material happiness. People take material happiness as the only happiness, and they try to arrange their lives so they're always materially happy, but it's not possible to do that. Not possible. Especially as you get older, there's so many miseries that come in. The body starts to break down, and there's nothing you can do about it. You go to the doctor and say, "I'm sorry, it's a symptom of old age." You see? So you need to see how to connect with the spirit, Brahma Saukyam, that spiritual happiness. And that is taught by the bona fide spiritual master, that's taught in the Vedic wisdom. How to enter into that state of divine consciousness where there is pure, unadulterated happiness that goes on increasing forever.
Prabhupada, can I add something? Bhagavatam says that happiness is everywhere, but you have taken the bed shelter, durashraya.
Yeah.
So when you have a bed shelter, there won't be any happiness. That shelter is this material body, like he explained.
But we are all
yes.
In that body.
So now we have to use this durashraya to get out of this shelter and to attain the better shelter. And that is the spiritual shelter, under the guidance of the spiritual master.
See, one has to understand what is the actual nature of that spiritual happiness. We in the material world, we take the combination between the senses and the objects of the senses to be happiness. But genuine happiness means to come into a state of perfect harmony with God. Or we think, we may think in a humanitarian way, the more I can give service to others, that will make me happy. But as long as our service is based on the material platform, then it's still imperfect. By serving the sense, instead of thinking my own senses, I want to think about my wife, my kids, my parents, my community. I want to give service. And that is a higher level of material happiness. But because it's still based on the false conception of the material body being the self, it also is imperfect and it leads one to frustration as well, ultimately. So to actually achieve the real happiness, you have to come to the spiritual platform to know I'm not this body, I'm an eternal spiritual being. All living entities are not their bodies, they're eternal spiritual beings. And the actual happiness for every single living being is to reestablish his or her loving relationship with God. So when you actually come to that platform of awakening your divine consciousness and assisting others in awakening their divine consciousness, then you have achieved that true platform of happiness which can never be taken away by anything in the material world. Never. Nothing can ever take it away. So we are teaching you how to do that, you see. How to achieve that happiness which is never broken by anything. Called transcendental happiness. Any happiness within the modes of nature is comes and it goes. When you're in the mode of goodness, you feel happy. When passion comes over you, get kind of lusty and greedy. When ignorance comes over you, become completely morose. These modes are always vying for supremacy. They're competing with each other. Passion, rajagun, tamagun, ignorance, and sattvagun, the mode of goodness. These modes are always competing with each other for supremacy within your consciousness. A person who is in the mode of goodness, he's more happy than those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance. But even then, his happiness sometimes, his goodness is sometimes overcome by passion and ignorance, and he loses that sense of happiness that he had. So when you come to the pure platform, the transcendental platform, that's called pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva. You see, the Shuddha Sattva platform, there's no more influence of Rajagun or Tamagun. So that's what the bona fide spiritual master teaches you. He teaches you how to come to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, where there's no more influence of Rajagun, Tamagun. So the happiness is there, but just like the internet is there, without the proper instrument, you can't connect with it. You see?
And how we can achieve get the guru?
You have to just that's described by Krishna. Tadvidi pranipatena paripashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnananas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. We are giving you that knowledge right now. How serious you are to take it, that's up to you.
But you come once in a year.
Huh?
You come once in a year.
Huh? But you come once in a year.
The temple
but you give him the card.
I come always, but I didn't get the guru.
You can connect with me via the internet. I have something that comes out every day. I have a thought for the day. Anybody else who wants it, raise your hand. But I have a video that comes out every day. Every day I produce a video just for you.
Yeah, but yeah? Video won't be the guru, right?
Guru is speaking.
The spiritual master is the guru, right?
Speaking, yeah.
And I'm talking about the spiritual master.
Yeah, the spiritual master speaks in the video.
The spiritual, there's two, okay. We can answer that question. He's raised a point and we will answer that point. There's two presences of the spiritual master. In Sanskrit, they're called Vani and Vapu. Vapu means his physical form. And Vani means his instructions. So of these two forms, the Vani, or the vibrational form, the instructional form, is more important. Vapu is sometimes present and sometimes not present. But one can, if one actually surrenders to the spiritual master, taking his orders as one's very life and soul, the spiritual master enters your heart And his instructions became your guiding principle. I have disciples, you know, I have two disciples here. They're nicely situated in Krishna consciousness. You see, Madhavashraya Das Adhikari and Gornitai Das Brahmachari. I only come once a year. Huh? Oh, and Madhavapriya, yeah. Devi Das, yeah. So I have these disciples here, and they take my instructions of their life and so, and they're happily situated in Krishna consciousness because they take my instructions.
So they hear you every week?
You can ask them. You can ask them about literally how they feel connected with me. Why don't you tell them?
I definitely feel connected with
Shri. Tell him.
I feel so much connected with Sangashan Prabhu through the instructions. And like, although like we don't meet personally, like in the form of Bapu, every day I contemplate the instructions that I have received from Sangashan Prabhu and I try to apply them in my life.
And what about thought for the day?
And thought today? That is very, very amazing and inspiring.
Every day you get something fresh in the email. I write it every day. Now a video day I've added too. There's a video clip every day, fresh video clip. And you can write your questions in. You have email, right? You can ask me questions on email. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to add also that also on the homepage there's a link also with the classes. All the classes are recorded and put in there. So I listen to my spiritual master's classes every single day. And if I miss one day, I can immediately feel that my consciousness changes. I become, you know, more morose and everything. So I take advantage of that and listen every day. So it's actually just taking shelter of the Vani is just as efficient as the Vani.
We often have live classes too with something called Start Meeting on the internet, where you can, in the chat window, you can type in your question in a live lecture. We have those too available. And let's see, what else do we have?
All kind of association.
Yeah. We have live lectures on the internet. We have the recorded lectures. We have video for the day. We have thought for the day. Plus, I come here every year. And you can also come, and you can come to my Vyas Puja. And that's a very inspiring for my followers. We're having that in Lithuania in October. It's just a short hop on the airplane down to Kaunas, Lithuania. Ryanair is a really cheap ticket. You can come down for my Vyas Puja celebration in Kaunas in October.
We will all come.
Good. Don't speak too fast. Don't speak too fast.
Maybe I'm like this. Lithuania, you said Lithuania?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to go. You can get all the details. They found a cheap, really good price on Ryanair. You just come down for the weekend on a Saturday.
I'm always hungry for
with us. It's in October.
Okay. I'll write a list of people who's
interested. So the thing is that you can write me an email anytime and I'll answer you.
Because you said without a spiritual master I cannot attain the nirvana, so that means I need to have, and to attain that I will try for best possible way.
Okay, you can give him the instruction right now. If he's not chanting, he should begin chanting.
Here's the orders.
Chant.
16 rounds every day?
I do chant.
Yeah. All right.
16 rounds.
Not 16 hours. I have
16
to
rounds.
No, just
16 malas?
No, I do 2 rounds.
Now you got it. Now you have to increase. Mm-hmm. You have to increase. You want to get all the material well, you have to follow.
I have family and I have
that's all right.
Work life and
Prabhu has
family. That's all right.
Everybody has family. They are all devotees.
If you're serious about spiritual life, you'll increase your chanting to 16 rounds.
Okay. Yeah. I will look forward to the people who are having a normal life and they are doing 16 rounds.
He's a security guard.
Every single day. Didn't skip one day. It's no problem.
I was a computer programmer. And I was doing this as a computer programmer. I was working full-time for Chilton Corporation.
You chant 16 rounds every day?
Yes.
Where do you work a job? Do you go for a job?
Yeah, I'm doing PhD.
He's doing PhD. Yeah, he is a normal life.
I was
so-called normal life.
I had a regular job as a computer programmer.
But that is not normal life, according to you.
No, so-called
our body
normal
is
life.
Materialistic life and
so-called normal life means what abnormal people think is a normal life. Normal life is one human life means to become self-realized. That is real, normal life for the human being.
Otherwise, you're living an abnormal life. So what is your name?
Vishal.
Vishal, okay. We should get some pictures of this meeting for Dot for the day, you know. Okay. You can take some pictures of the meeting. It's nice. So it kind of shields everyone, you know.
You can go behind there.
I didn't get your comment. What is that? Krishna?
Krishna is
there. Okay, next question.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Yes.
How to avoid fault finding?
Yeah.
You shouldn't avoid fault finding, you should find faults with yourself. Take your fault finding tendency and oppose it to yourself. You see, the perfection of fault finding is to look for your faults. Do you know you're full of faults? You're lusty, you're angry, you're greedy, you're mad and delusion, you're envious, you're fearful. You're full of dirt. You're just a walking, talking garbage can of faults. Okay? So you should start psychoanalyzing your own faults and getting your husband to help you, the devotees to help you, you know. And then you won't be so much seeing faults in others. You'll appreciate them more. The more you see your own faults, the more you appreciate others. It's important. Everybody all have faults, you see. But a devotee is like a honeybee. He looks for the good in others. He's not like a fly looking for the faults in others. Of course, sometimes as a service, we have to point out faults in others. Just like I'm pointing out your faults. But that's not done in a fault-finding mood, it's done in a service mood. So you have to learn how to appreciate others and see what a rascal you actually are. That's where you take your fault-finding propensity. Point it back on yourself. Next question. Yes.
I would like to repeat the question which Uddhava is asking Krishna. Because Uddhava is saying that the body is dead from the beginning to end, and the soul is always full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. So who is really suffering in this material world?
You want to take that one? Who's actually suffering? The body of the self? Me to take it? Okay. Right now you're wearing that jacket, you see. If I take a pair of scissors and I cut a big hole in that jacket, is the jacket feeling any pain?
No.
No. Your mind is disturbed. Oh, my jacket, he ruined my jacket. So no, the actual soul is the only, everything else is inanimate. The soul is what's actually suffering due to his misidentification with matter. The soul is actually suffering. Unnecessarily. It's like you're in a dream and a tiger is chasing you. You're running as fast as you can, but the tiger is getting ready to devour you and you're in so much anxiety. But it's not really, it's just a dream. But you're suffering like anything in that dream. Even though there is no tiger, actually. So actually, you are suffering due to your misidentification with your material body. Actually, you are suffering. The jiva, the soul, actually is suffering. It's a fact. And I'll come out of that suffering by giving up false identification with the material body. Identify yourself as who you actually are, the eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one of the Lord. Understand that Krishna is your all-merciful well-wisher. In the situation you're in at every minute is his special mercy upon you, how to bring you back to his eternal kingdom as soon as possible. So suffering is simply due to ignorance. Simply due to ignorance of the reality. Okay, Vishal. Now you take it seriously. You increase your japa. I want you to become a disciple. Okay? 16 rounds. Hare Krishna. Okay. Does that answer your question? Okay, any other questions? Next question.
I have heard from you that it is very benevolent to chant and to be in the temple here. If you have your flat all also install it as a temple with the same deities? Is it also, is it the same? No.
What's the question? The
question is this, that chanting in the temple is very powerful and she can chant, but in the flat, if she has deities and photographs and all that, it will be, will it be
the same? More you create a temple-like atmosphere in your home, they will also become magnified. The more you can make your home like the temple, it becomes more powerful. The chanting becomes more powerful there. That's about.
But if it helps you to be away from home, you can chant in the temple. Sometimes, even with the all kind of atmosphere there, we don't feel
the
like
temple will be more powerful.
Yeah. For the people who find difficulty, it's better to come to the temple.
It's like you think, listen, you go to the grocery store, there's a nice pineapple, a beautiful pineapple, wow. So I'm going to buy it and offer it to Krishna. You offer it to your deity at home, then you get to eat it yourself. See, if you offer it to the temple, you may not get a bite of it. So it's more of a sacrifice when you come to the temple. It's more, you have to be more renounced, the temple. And that's actually good for your Krishna consciousness, that renunciation. So the temple is very good. Come as much as possible, and when not possible, you worship at home.
But first finish your japa, then do the service, okay?
Yeah.
Next.
This is more like a comment, because like with the chanting, a lot of us, we chant alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it's much more powerful to chant with the devotees.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's also one benefit of chanting in the temple, especially if you come during the japa time.
Yeah.
But somebody like
you get their mercy, you get strength.
But somebody like herself doesn't have a vehicle to come from distance. They have to take the transport, the public transport, which takes longer, so they may not be.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not coming at the moment.
Yeah, chanting, doing things along with the devotees is very, very powerful. Just like now, because we're all here in the room, it becomes more powerful. Just you and me talking, it's all right. When there's a whole group here, the part of hearing, it becomes more powerful. It's called Sangha.
Synergy.
Sangha. Sangha Kirtan, Sun Kirtan, you see. That when you do things in a group of devotees, it becomes more powerful. So that's why we have a movement, Hare Krishna movement, because that gives us, that increases our spiritual power by doing things together as a family.
I think then the closer devotees should set up the example so they feel inspired also.
Closer?
Those who live nearby.
Oh, they live closer, yeah.
I just see
good.
Only, what is the name, Keshava Priya is there, and what is Lalitanath Prabhu is there, and he is there, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, the more you all can, the more the resident devotees can show the example, they'll inspire others who aren't living in the temple. Yeah.
So we have been here like since Wednesday. We are seeing very few devotees chanting together.
About 5 or 6 maybe.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah.
Of course, some may have services, but in chanting we just see a few of them.
Yeah, the fact. Next question.
You are very often saying that we should dive deeper in the nectar. Can you elaborate more about, or maybe some advices?
You want to know more about how to dive deep into the nectar?
Yeah.
The 10 offenses are... avoiding the 10 offenses is the key. You have to see how am I... And what ways? Because we're all committing the offenses in different ways, openly, you know, or subtly. It's simply due to the fact that these nama parads, that we're not actually experiencing directly seeing Krishna in front of us. It's due to these nama parads we're not able to make the whole world Krishna conscious in the next 18 days. It's due to these aparads. So we're all committing aparad. We're all covered by aparad. So you have to study, as I told her, you have to study your own self honestly and get help from other devotees too. And be very open to other devotees pointing out your faults. and see if there's any way you're actually being offensive to devotees, any way you're neglecting the order of the spiritual master. You have to be very, very introspective to see in what way am I doing things that are not actually proper? In what way am I thinking improperly? What way am I speaking improperly? In what way am I acting improperly? In other words, you've got to really become humble. Be willing to be, you know, agree to be corrected, you know, by your attitude, your words and your actions. Any time, in any place, you're always willing to be corrected. You've got to be humble. That's how you taste the nectar, you see. Trinadapi sanichena tarorapi sahishnina amanina madaniya kirtaniya sadahari. To become consider yourself lower than the broken beer bottle out in the street, you see, to be offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for yourself. You see, in this mood, you can really taste incredibly sublime nectar, so sublime that you go on chanting for millions of years with ever increasing rasa and ever increasing taste from the name. Look at the this sages of Namanjaranya. How long are they going to go on with their? How long would that?
Thousand
years sacrifice. Can you imagine sitting in a yagya for 1,000 years? They got to be tasting some nectar to be able to do that. You see? 1,000 years we do a yagya. Mm-hmm. Here we can maybe go for 2 hours, right? And we go, well, I got to go do this, got to do that. Time to move. Can you imagine 1,000 year? We have a program at the temple for 1,000 year program. 1,000 year program with the temple. Are you kidding? You see, because we're not tasting the nectar. When you're really tasting, if you're tasting the nectar, you can say, okay, well, you can have a kirtan for 1,000 year kirtan. There's a special dispensation from Lord Chaitanya. Nobody's going to leave their body. We're going to be young during the whole thing. We'll live there 1,000 years. So I'm ready. 1,000 year kirtan. You see, how much are you tasting the nectar? You see. So the fact is, these aparadhas are in the way. And what's the first one? To be offensive toward devotees. If you can just focus on that one thing of having love and respect for all devotees, those who are more advanced, equally advanced, and less advanced, if you can just focus on proper relationships with devotees, your ability to taste nectar will be enhanced at least 100 times. At least 100 times. Jai. Next question. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastre kai, sadhu sangha lava matra sarva siddhi hai. It is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one moment's association with the sadhu can give all perfection to one's life. Sarva siddhi hai. One can achieve all perfection simply by lava matra, 1/11th of a second association with the sadhu. So, why am I not getting those siddhis, that perfection of pure love of God? Because I'm taking the sadhus for granted. I'm not giving proper respect. I don't have proper appreciation for the sadhus. Therefore, I may go associate with them. I don't come out of the room as a perfected spiritual being. But if I have proper mood, just like Prabhupada, just that one meeting is all it took, and he's transformed. Prabhupada said, he didn't get initiated. It was 11 years later before he got Diksha, but he said practically he initiated me. Just that one meeting, within a few minutes, his whole life was completely turned around. You see? So we have to become receptive, like Prabhupada was receptive. Even though he argued, actually. He gave an argument, first of all, but when he was defeated, he accepted it. Who will hear our message? We are a dependent nation, you see. We got to give it to the British, and then we can think about preaching. His argument was cut to shreds by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Instead of being angry that he was defeated in an argument, he felt so joyful. Ah, I have met such a great saintly personality. That was his mood. One godbrother, he told the story. He was a football player, a real fighting type of mentality, in a collegiate football, And he came to for a darshan, roomful in L.A. He had a whole list of questions, actually challenging. The Swami had to be able to read the future. He had a whole list of things the Swami had to do in order to be considered a real guru. He was going to check out the guru if he was a fake or a genuine. And he had his list of what would be a genuine guru and what would be a fake. And he sat down in the room in the middle of all the devotees, and Prabhupada immediately picked up on the vibe. He said, Prabhupada said, "Why are you such a creepiner?" And all the devotees kind of moved back, you know. And Prabhupada really laid into him. And he actually answered everyone without even him reading off the paper. He dealt with every single thing on the paper. But he was totally defeated by Prabhupada. He darted out of the room in a huff, you know, got in his car, drove back down to Laguna Beach like angry. But then he realized, you know.
Halfway.
But actually, I was defeated, you know. So he went back to give a donation, but he didn't. He was afraid to give it directly to Prabhupada. He gave it to Rameshwar or someone. Said
Rameshwar, and they all pushed him.
They took him in to meet Prabhupada again. He was a little shy to meet him after being defeated like that. But yeah, you have to be like that. That you can be completely smashed, like Prabhupada was smashed, or Mahabodhi. He became Mahabodhi Das. It was Randy Stein, a big football player. He became defeated. He became Mahabodhi Das, Brahmachari, and then Adhikari. So you have to be like that. You can be completely defeated, and you'll say, "Yeah, die." You see, yeah.
I'm very much suffering with this problem of the service mode. You know, I can just able to maintain only for a few hours of service mode, not after that. And I will get, you know, if somebody says more service to me, I will get more angry, and you know.
Well, the thing is, if you're working on a PhD, you do have to have time to do your studies, you know. That you work out with your temple president. How much service you really should be doing, that you work out with Leetanath Prabhu.
Not only the service, the physical service, but also every activity in our day-to-day life is, you know, have to be do like a service to the spiritual master. But also that one also, you know, just for, I can do every activity as a service for certain hours. After that, I will be very much relaxed. I want my body, you know, seeking relax for some time, you know, not continuously.
You want to answer that one? You're good at this stuff. All right, so the thing is, we are serving 24 hours a day already, whether you notice it or not. We're always doing service. We're serving our body, we're serving our wife, our kids, our husband, our family members, our temple. Our nature is to serve by very nature. If you don't serve, you're always going to be serving something. You can't not be engaged in service. You'll just serve your senses if nothing else. Our nature is always to be engaged in service. So you have to see, how can I use this tendency to serve in such a way that I get the best results? Understand? You're always serving. Nothing, you're just serving your own senses. Indriya seva is called, serving the senses. So you have to understand, a certain amount of service to the senses is required to stay healthy. You have to serve the senses to a certain extent. And that's your quota, you're allowed to do that. Whatever service for your own senses you require to be healthy, that you're allowed, that your quota is given by Prabhupada. But the balance energy should go into serving Krishna. And it's not that service itself is something that you're not compatible with. You're totally compatible with service. Your difficulty is you don't know how to connect your service tendency with Krishna in such a way that you feel you're becoming liberated from all your anxieties. You feel the service is increasing your anxiety, isn't it? So that's why you have association with devotees who are more experienced than you. You have your Leetanath Prabhu, other devotees. You have to take guidance from them how to practically engage yourself 24 hours in such a way that you're actually making steady progress towards the spiritual perfection, at the same time you're covering your material needs, at the same time you're covering your ultimate need of self-realization. So both things are there. You're working on the PhD, you have to do. You should do a good job on that. But at the same time, you should... I remember, here's a very good example now. We had my dear godbrother Sada Puriprabhu, a PhD in mathematics. He was a tremendous big brain. He's written many, many books. And I was with him in Atlanta many years ago. And he had his own office. They gave him a garage, and he turned it into an office. That was his place where he did his work all day. But in the evening, he would go to the temple and mop the kitchen. And he liked that, doing that service. He was doing his academic service during the day, and in the evening he would go to just mop the floor. And he was happy in both moods, whether he was mopping the floor or doing his academic work. And either way, he was in transcendental bliss, you see. So you have to learn how to at the same time you do your occupational duty of being a PhD candidate, you do that, you do a first-class job there, and you have to also remember who you really are. You're not a big this or that. You're just a humble devotee of the Lord. So you have to have service that reminds you of that also. Both things have to be balanced. Does that help a little bit? Yeah. Thing is, I would question whether you're properly tuning into your chanting. You see, if your mind is disturbed by service, it means you're not connecting well enough in your chanting. You need to develop a more meditative consciousness that you can carry through so many types of service. You're not meditative enough. You don't have a meditative enough consciousness.
And also chanting for, if I divide the chanting into two phases, 8 rounds and 8 rounds, first phase of 8 rounds can go nicely, and the second phase of 8 rounds,
What you do is then go to bed earlier and get up and chant half your rounds before Mangalarti. You see? Get them all done in the morning. In the morning, the early bird catches the worm, you see? Before the sunrise, it's much easier to meditate. So I would recommend going to bed earlier and get up earlier. Chant half your rounds. I know the head cook in Atlanta, Ramnath Shukha Prabhu.
What aren't we doing also?
Huh?
And we also doing the same?
Yeah, we do it now too. We get up at 2 o'clock. I get up late. I get up at 2:15.
I really feel wondered after seeing the devotees who wake up at 2 o'clock early in the morning. It seems for me not possible to do that.
It's relative. I mean, 2 o'clock. I mean, where are you from? In India?
India. Yeah.
What city?
Hyderabad,
okay. Well, 2 o'clock here is actually like, 6 o'clock or something. So it's just you have to think you're in Hyderabad. It's 6 in the morning. You better get up. It's relative, Time is relative. Why you just pretend you're in Hyderabad. You can trick yourself, you can take your smartphone and set it for Hyderabad and get up at 6 in the morning every day. Get up at 6 in the morning every day. It's 2 o'clock here or something like that, I mean, you have to be real, have fun. But the thing is, Krishna consciousness is fun. You got to have fun with the process. There's nothing more fun than Krishna consciousness. If you're not having fun, you're doing something wrong. If you feel like you're torturing yourself, you're doing something wrong. You don't understand how it works. This is the most ecstatic thing you've done in millions and billions of lifetimes. You're disturbed by it, you see? You don't understand the science, how it works. You're a PhD. You're supposed to have a big brain. So you need to use your PhD brain to understand not only what are you studying? What's that?
Chemistry.
Huh?
Chemistry.
Plow high and deep. Chemistry.
Chemistry. Okay. Well, you have to understand the chemistry of the soul also. It's composed of three chemicals, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. You see? That chemistry you should learn, the chemistry of your actual identity. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss are the three chemical elements of the jiva. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So you got to get back to your original chemical formula of eternity knowledge and bliss dovetailed with the supreme eternal knowledge and blissful person, Krishna. If you learn how to dovetail your consciousness with Krishna, then you'll do everything in complete bliss. Bhaktivedanta Kaurav is very heavily engaged as a magistrate for the British government. But he was so deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he got his work done in half the time of the other magistrates. And then he wrote so many beautiful, amazing songs that we sing now in our temples. So many books. Incredible writing he did. Incredible preaching. When he'd take a leave from his work, he'd go out and preach with such power, he made whole villages Krishna conscious. So you have to learn how to use your intelligence properly, you see. That you're missing. If you read Prabhupada's books very carefully, if you take my instructions very seriously, you'll have a tremendous awakening within your heart. Okay? You should get on my e-course. Yeah. Okay? Next question. Yeah.
This is about getting up early in the morning.
Yeah.
I might have a doubt or a misgiving, but I just in some periods then I manage to get up quite early and chant a lot of rounds before Mangalarati. But it just seems to be like a little taxing on the intelligence. Like if you sleep less.
No, you can always take a nap, like go to bed earlier, you know, early to bed, early to rise. You don't have to give it, you don't have to take sleep less, you can just arrange your sleep differently.
It is said by the karmis, early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy and wise. It's the karmis saying. Mm-hmm. So all the karmis also do that, those who want to be successful.
Look at somebody like Steve Jobs or you know, the guy who took over Apple, those people get up early. People are very highly successful people, they get up early. People who sleep in, they're loser class, you know. Just worker class. Like a slave of some boss somewhere. But people who are really successful, they get up early. DJ.
I don't know if this is relevant, but could you tell a little about memories of Sariputta?
Tell a little bit more about Sariputta?
Yeah, some of your memories of Sariputta, because I'm a little, you know, natural, great fan of him. Like,
well, I had that. I associated him in two places, in Atlanta and also in San Diego. Later on in San Diego. The BI was situated in San Diego. We were there. And he gave incredible classes. I used to take notes in his class. I still have those notes somewhere. But one example he gave in his class in San Diego is called the Infinite Hotel. I'm trying to remember the point it was, man. Oh, yeah, it was. I'm trying to remember the point. The point of the example. you remember the Infinite Hotel? The idea was,
accommodate more?
Oh yeah, can you squeeze more? Can you add more people to infinity? And this is a logical argument that yes, you can. He has an infinite hotel, and so when someone, the hotel is full, but when someone comes to check in, everybody in the hotel moves one room, moves to the next room, and there's room, always room for one more in infinity. That was, I forget why he gave the example. I always remember the infinite hotel in his Bhagavatam class. He gave all kinds of cool stuff, you know, logical stuff in his classes. I really loved his classes, like the really, you know, the learned genius is giving. It was cool. I really loved his classes. And he would give once a week. There was many. At that time, ISKCON World Review was there, Bhakti Gaudiya Magazine was there, BI was there. They called it the Southern California Brain Drain. All the Mukunda Maharaj was there.
Back to Godhead was there.
Yeah, Anutima came in from Detroit, from Denver. He said, this is the Southern California brain drain. They're taking all the big brains from ISKCON. They're putting them all in San Diego. It was a really joyous time to be there because the classes were incredible. One morning you hear Mukunda Maharaj, then you hear, you know, Jaidoita Maharaj, then you hear Sataputta. They even let me give a class. I couldn't believe it. I was wild. I was relishing hearing these other classes. Badri Narayan Swami was the demo president at the GBC. He was giving amazing classes there. Dutta Karma Prabhu was there too. I mean, it was all the big brains. Him. That's when they were working on that book, the Forbidden Archaeology book. It was during that era this was being put together. It was an incredible time of ISKCON, for ISKCON intellectuals. You would have really liked the atmosphere a lot, being an intellectual yourself. It was really amazing. Really amazing. Really amazing year in San Diego back in about 1990 or 89 or something. 89. It was an amazing year. Yeah.
89, 90.
Yeah, it's amazing. Really, a really delightful time. Delightful time. Everybody was coming in. BTG moved there, and BI was there, ISKCON World Review was there. It was just really something special. A really special time. Sataputta had one boy working for him. I think he's still active. Very good.
Krishna Kripa
is his right hand. He was doing. He's a real brain too. Real brain. He was doing all kinds of things on the computer. Incredible stuff on the computer to assist Sataputta Prabhu. He's still going strong. Krishna Kripa Prabhu. I don't remember. Might have been. I don't remember. Might have been to Puri.
You know him?
I don't think so.
But he wasn't there, so we don't know.
No, I don't. But yeah, it was an amazing time. The classes were just. It was like the Oxford University of ISKCON at that time. Morning classes. Wow.
Umapati
Swami was going strong at that time. He was going really strong. He was really good at that time. That was the peak of Umapati Swami's preaching career. He was there too. He's one of the original from 22nd Avenue, you know. He was just overflowing with nectar. He was incredible. Agmapati Swami, also. Yeah.
No, it was just that I visited San Diego Temple for 2 years in 2002, and when Badri Narayan Maharaj was there, and the Dravida Prabhu, and I was just wondering now.
Oh, you were there for 2 years?
Yeah, I
did. When Dravida?
It was 2000.
Yeah, but Dravida is still going strong there. Dravida is just I call him Dravida Sukha. Parrot, you know, but whatever he touches becomes sweeter. When he touches the Shastra, it becomes sweeter. Dravida Sukha Prabhu.
The way he recites slogans is.
I know, it's just absolutely. Oh. Yeah, I love Dravida Prabhu.
But
when
Narayan Maharaj, now he's traveling more. Before he was like the father of the temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then he took sannyasi.
Now he's a sannyasi, he's traveling more. Yeah, Badrinarayan Swami, his classes. We used to have a thing every Sunday. The Sunday feast, the few of us would have. We would get together in a little room in the back with Badrinarayan Swami. And we like a few of the God brothers, and he would crack the most incredible jokes. You know, he just like, it was amazing. Taking a shot at Badrinarayan, the Sunday feast with Badrinarayan Swami. It was really.
That time he was not Swami.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying Swami because he is now. He was Badrinarayan Das Adhikari then. But yeah. He's just a wonderful, delightful person to be with, Badrinarayan Prabhu Maharaj. So, anything else? Y'all have any more questions? Some of you have not asked questions yet.
She has questions.
She's shy. She's afraid you will tell her to wake up at 2 o'clock.
Yes, she is.
Actually, I have a question. I just had my baby steps here, so I'm apologizing if the question is stupid. But
she just had what?
She just took her first baby steps here.
Oh, okay.
So she's apologizing if her question is stupid.
There's no such. The only stupid question is one you didn't ask. There's no such thing as a stupid question. The only stupid one is the one you didn't ask.
My question is that when I chant, how do you keep focus? Because your thoughts are traveling all the time, and I'm just chanting four rounds. And I feel like I have to start over many times because
The thing is, if you say I had to chant the rounds perfectly, I had to keep doing it, you'll be chanting for all eternity if you do that. Because we're not at this stage, our rounds are not perfect, but we just have to keep chanting and keep improving the quality. There's a very nice verse in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which will be very helpful for you to study and meditate on. You can find it in the 6th chapter, chapter 6. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamashtaram tatastato nayam yaitad atmanyevavashamyayat. From wherever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So you consider yourself like the mother, and your mind is your naughty little child, you see. So you have to keep bringing that naughty little kid back. Every time it goes away, okay, mind. There's a very nice bhajan also in this connection by Govinda Das. Bhaja hure mama shrinanda nandana abhaya charanada vindare. My dear mind, please engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. So your mind is not you. Your mind is an instrument that God has given you to engage in His service. So you have to see when your mind is deviating from the service of the Lord, and with your intelligence, which is more powerful than your mind, with your intelligence you have to bring the mind back. And just like in Texas, we have what's called, in Texas, the land of the rodeos. Of course, we're not into that, but they do have rodeos. Even in Austin, they're having a rodeo. Just when we left, the rodeo was going on. Rodeo means... It actually goes back to the old days in Texas when there was wild horses running everywhere. And they wanted to tame those horses, to ride them, to use them as transportation. There were so many wild horses running free on the prairies of Texas. So what they would do is they would capture them and put them in a corral, a big fence. And the cowboy would get on the back of it, the horse, and the horse would... They're called bucking broncos. He'd whip his legs in the air to throw the cowboy off his back. But the cowboy keeps getting on and getting on and getting on until the horse finally surrenders and becomes and learns how to take commands and be a domesticated horse. So your mind is a bucking bronco. He keeps throwing you off from Krishna. No. Think about this. Think about that. Not Krishna. The mind keeps throwing. You've got to be more determined than your mind. Mind, we are now going to be Krishna conscious. I know you don't like it, but too bad. Because I'm laying down the law, and we're going to be Krishna conscious now, mind. You see? So in this way, like that cowboy that keeps getting back on that bucking bronco, you keep getting back, you keep bringing the mind back to Krishna. Again and again, the mind says, okay, I give up. I surrender. I'm tired of fighting, and I agree to be Krishna conscious now, you see. You have to bring your mind under control. You see.
But in the beginning it will be offensive, but we have to keep doing it. Not that we start again and never go.
There's no sense starting your round over again. Just go ahead and chant your rounds the best you can, because your rounds at this stage, if you had to chant a perfect round, you'd be chanting 24 hours a day and never chanting a perfect round.
Not even one round.
Not even one, actually even chanting one name perfectly is difficult for us at this stage, you see. We're so polluted after millions and billions of lifetimes of being caught up in the cycle of birth and death. But by practice, by training, gradually, the mind says, this isn't so bad after all, really. I kind of enjoy this Krishna consciousness. And after a while, the mind is starting saying, this is actually pretty cool. Krishna consciousness. The mind will really start to relish it. But it takes time because your mind is used to being just wandering hither and thither with all kinds of material thoughts. You see, your mind is used to being wild. It's like a wild horse. It's used to running free and not being bridled in any way. Now you're trying to bridle it. It's revolting against that. But you say, mind, it really isn't so bad. You should really, you know, you'll be much happier when you agree to be Krishna conscious. So why don't you just try it for a while? Mind. Give it a try, mind. You'll like it. You see?
And one thing is this, for experience, once you start slowly, you will remain slow. But if you go to 16 and you feel jubilant, I did my 16. And you never want to go back.
I chanted 16 rounds the first day.
Me too.
I never went back. First day.
Me too. Never went back.
In those days, they didn't have Japa beads from India. You had to go to a hobby store and buy wooden beads and string them yourself. So a bunch of us got in the car, went to the hobby store, we bought our beads, we came back, we strung them and chanted them. I chanted 16 the first day. I bragged to Vishnu John Swami, thinking, I think I'd like to become a devotee. He challenged me. Instead of saying, oh, Bhakti Steve, that's so nice, you think you want to become a devotee? No, he challenged me. He said, what I'm afraid of is easy come, easy go. He challenged me. Instead of saying, Jai, I think I'd like to become a devotee, Swami. Instead of saying, Jai, he said, what I'm afraid of is easy come, easy go. He really challenged me, you see. So now I'm challenging you.
16 rounds.
Yes, 16 rounds.
What is it?
I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I'm happy, actually.
It's actually fun. To dive into the name is the ultimate nectar. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. There's nothing sweeter than Krishna's name. Krishna's name is sweeter than any pleasure you can taste, even in the planets of the demigods. It's the sweetest pleasure you can taste anywhere in all of existence, because it's Krishna himself.
I have one question, one more. I feel like this Krishna consciousness is like walking on a line. You have the hope that Krishna will accept your duties and your service, and then you're hopeless that you have your ego with you. So it won't be Krishna in Krishna's name. So you're like dancing on this line.
Krishna accepts. There should be no doubt. Krishna is accepting your service. Whatever you're doing for Krishna, he's accepting it. And he's actually reciprocating 10 times more than what you're putting into. That's guaranteed. Whatever you do, you're getting 10 times the result from Krishna. Not if Krishna will accept. Whatever you do for him, he's accepting it 10 times, as if you did 10 times more than you actually did. 10 times at multiplying.
But how do you know that you're doing a service without your ego? Without your, not advantage.
You mean without pride?
Yeah, exactly. And without this I.
Well, there's two I's or two egos. There's the real ego and the false ego. You see, you do exist. You are not an illusion. The impersonalists say that you do not exist, the I is an illusion, but that's not true. You do exist, you're an eternal spiritual being, you're the eternal servant of God. You actually have a personal identity. You're one of the associates of the Lord in His transcendental kingdom. You're one of His associates. You are a person. You have an identity. You have a real ego. Ego means identity. The false ego is thinking that you're the body, or thinking that you're a big shot, thinking you're the center of the universe. That's called false ego. But real ego is, I'm the servant of Krishna. That's real ego. So to think that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, now how can I actually realize that by engaging in his service? You see, if you do that, then your real ego is becoming, you see, false ego simply takes over when real ego is not there. But as soon as you bring the real ego, I'm the servant of Krishna, I'm his eternal servant, the false ego goes away. I remember that day, it was a wonderful turning point in my eternal existence. I had purchased a Bhagavad Gita. I was sitting in a popular outdoor cafe where all the hippies hung out. And But I was more interested in what was that Bhagavad Gita. I was looking at my Bhagavad Gita. And then I said, I'm going to write my name in the Gita. I was Steve Bridge then. That was my Karmi name. I wrote in the, you know, you write your name in the book in case it gets lost, right? I put Steve Bridge, the eternal servant of Krishna. You see? So that's what you have to do. You have to affirm your spiritual identity now. What was your name again?
Zaina.
Zaina.
Zaida.
Zaida?
Zaida.
Zaida?
Yeah.
The Z?
Yes.
Zaida. Zaida, the eternal servant of Krishna. You see? There's your real ego. Now start acting in that ego. Zaida, the eternal servant of Krishna. Be who you really are. Your identity is not false. But that body is a false identification. It's just a garment you're wearing. That you're the center of the universe, that's a false identification. That you're false, that your mind is wearing, you see. You're the eternal servant of Krishna, of God, you see. So now you take on that ego, that's your real ego, and live in that every day, at every minute. You wake up in the morning, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. To always remind yourself of that, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And then, wow, the whole world will be different. You'll be living in the spiritual world when you do that. Material, Copenhagen won't look the same anymore. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And here I am, serving him.
I wanted to add that she just told me today that when she does her household duties in her apartment at home, that all the things that used to be a little boring or a challenge, now she just, like, so many times during the day, but I am a servant of Krishna, and then...
Very good. What I do, I like to sing. I like to sing, you know. I just kind of break into song every now and then during the day, you know. Like, I go into the kitchen to get ready for the deity worship in the morning after Tulsi worship. I just, you know, I'm getting the paraphernalia ready. I just sing a little bhajan, you know. Gorango bolite habe, you know, because I was a singer before, so I just like to sing. My mother did the same thing. She was a singer, and she would sit down in the afternoon after doing her chores at the piano and sing hymns glorifying God on the piano in the living room. I remember. So you can sing or do, you know, have fun with this. You know, it's ecstatic. You know. Gauranga bolite habe. It's nectar, you know. That the Narottam is saying, when will that opportune moment come to me? That simply by chanting Gauranga, I would feel shivering in my body, you see. So these things are very powerful. All these meditations we're getting, all these things we're learning in the songbook, all the things we're learning from Prabhupada, you should learn to meditate on these things.
She is complaining about chanting offensive japa. Then she can learn
Bhaktivinoda Sagar. Oh, this is very nice. This you can learn. Kabe habe bolo. I do it with English, actually. Kabe habe bolo se dinamar. When oh, when will that day be mine? When my offenses, aparadha gucci, shudaname ruchi, Kripa bole habe hridoye sanchar. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? Kabe habe bolo se dinamar.
These two lines she can learn.
Is it?
Two lines only.
Which ones?
These two lines. Kabe habe bolo se dinamar.
Yeah. When my offense is ceasing, now you're realizing you're offensive. That's very good. So now you can pray in that mood, my dear Lord, when will that day come when I can chant without any offense? You should be hankering. When will I clear off these offenses? Krishna, help me. When will that day come? Intensely begging the Lord to free you from these offenses. That's how you will actually enter into the pure name, where you can directly meet God face to face. You see? by lamenting, bitterly lamenting your offensive chanting. That's how it becomes pure chanting. So I'm very happy that you're realizing your chanting is lousy. That's wonderful you're realizing them. I have great faith in you now that you can become a pure devotee because you're realizing that your chanting is rotten. It's horrible. That's great. You're really on the right track. You're doing fantastic, Zaida. So Bhaktan Zaida now is really on a good track. She realized her chanting is horrible. That's great. That's great. You're really on the right track. You're going to become advanced transcendentalist very soon if you keep in this mood. So keep chanting and chanting and chanting. I got an insider secret for you. Chanting is enchanting. So just keep chanting and chanting and you will become enchanted by Krishna's name. It won't be mechanical anymore. It'll be intoxication. Intoxication. Hare Krishna. We'll be, oh no, I got to do my rounds now. Oh no, I have to stop my rounds now. That'll be the limit. Oh no, I have to stop my rounds. Oh, I got this service to do. Well, you can keep chanting your mind while you're doing your service also. Or on your lips. Actually, 24 hours a day is what's supposed to chant Prabhupada. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
You said that when we're trying to defeat the mind, let's say, or control the mind, it's like horse, like wild horse, the mind.
Wild horse?
Mind is like a wild horse.
Yeah.
And you said when we are going back on the course, just to control him, then the mind is giving up at one point. So when the mind is giving up, or what are the symptoms it's starting to give up?
Standing of hairs on the body, tears flowing in the eyes like torrents of rain. This is described. Symptoms of ecstasy appear for one who is actually kind, brought the mind under control. Like Narottam is saying, Gorongo bolite habe. When will that opportune moment come to me? My chanting Gauranga's name. I feel shivering in my body. And by chanting Hari Hari, the tears will come shooting out of my eyes. You see. These are the symptoms described in that song, Gauranga Bolite. You see. When he brings his mind under control. There's another one I forgot to mention. See, there's the soft approach of Govindadas. My dear mind, please engage in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. There's also the other heavy technique of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He says, in the morning, you beat your mind with shoes 100 times. In the evening, leave the shoes in the shoe rack, you get out the broomstick in the evening, and beat it 100 times.
Is that literally done?
That's, huh?
Is that to be literally done?
No, not literally, but figuratively. I mean, you know, the mind is subtle, you can't hit it with a broom or a shoe anyway. You know what I mean? Don't beat your head with it. Your head is not your mind. Not your skull is not your mind. But figuratively, that's how heavy duty you have to become. Okay, mind, no more nonsense. If you any nonsense, you're going to beat the crud out of you. You see? You got to be heavy with yourself like that.
The mind wants sense gratification.
Yeah, what if you start thinking about a pretty girl, you know, or having sex or something like that? You see, you spit on it. This was the instruction of... Actually, the realization of a great Vaishnava Acharya who was formerly a king. He was enjoying so much sex, you know, his kings had harems in those days, in the old days, that he became a sadhu. He gave up all that. He said, Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna padara vinde, nava nava rasa damunyacharantu masit, tadavadi bhattanadi sangami sasmaryamane, bhavati mukashushtu nishtiva namcham. He says, whenever I think of having sex life, whenever my mind gets carried away by thoughts of sex, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. So that's another technique. If your mind gets carried away by sex desire, just don't literally spit, but you know, spit within your mind. You know. You know. You have to be strong. If you let, sometimes devotees just they, you know, they were previously having illicit sex, so they let their minds go back and remember those, this girl or that guy, you know, you kind of go back to try to enjoy it mentally. You know, got to cut it off.
Or also going to the restaurant and all that kind of things that devotees do sometimes.
Yeah, don't go to crummy restaurants. It's just, it pollutes your consciousness. You have to avoid mundane things and just find your pleasure in Krishna only. If you're getting pleasure from mundane things, you got to cut it off. Because it's just polluting your heart.
Cinemas, television.
Yeah.
Gurudev, you just gave this verse from Yamunacharya.
Mm.
He says, whenever my mind thinks
yes.
of sex life.
That's right.
So that means that he is thinking of sex life. So
not necessarily. He may just, he's probably just saying that for our benefit. Mm. Probably. The Acharyas present themselves as conditioned souls for our benefit. Mm.
Setting up the example, even Lord Shiva was carried away by the lust when Mohini Murti came. Mm. So this is for us to learn that any time our senses runs away, then we have to...
He may or may not have actually had those thoughts. But in either case, the point is the same.
I was thinking something specific.
Okay.
Earlier you mentioned this about like how lust, it's simply just chemicals. It's just chemistry,
right,
which are being released within the body.
Right.
So I'm thinking like, we are not this body, but the body is still the body. So even if one like is a self-realized person, will there still be this like this?
The tendency towards lust. Lord Chaitanya said, if I see a mannequin, I become lusty. Mm-hmm. If I see the wooden form of a woman, I become lusty. So as long as you have a healthy body, it means you have male hormones, you have healthy male hormones or healthy female hormones. And that means the tendency towards lust is there. If you're healthy. If you're feeling lust, in one sense it means you're healthy. You have a healthy body. In one sense, you see. So, but you just have to learn that this energy has to be channeled towards Krishna, not towards sense gratification. That's it. As I told you, you know, why think of making one woman pregnant when you can make the whole world pregnant by injecting everyone with Krishna Katha, you see. Take the passion and channel it into preaching, you see. Sex life means injecting semina into your wife to make her pregnant. So injecting semina into one woman, I can make her pregnant. But why not inject the semina of Krishna Katha in the ears of the world population and make everybody pregnant with love of God, you see? So, it's called the greater sex life. Make the whole world pregnant. Why make one woman pregnant? I'm making the whole world pregnant, you see? Take your tendency, your impregnating tendency that men have, you see, and use it to impregnate the whole world. Take that mood, you see. How you can make the world pregnant with love of God. Anything else?
Actually, a question I put, I didn't really get the full answer that I was looking for.
Okay.
In the class, it was about this, that you have faith as a child, then kind of your faith gets broken. My question was kind of, how do you regain that kind of little...
The tendency to have faith was shattered by improper leadership. So how do you regain that innocence in that tendency towards faith?
I've seen this as a problem. For example, I've seen like many who have a background of like shattered families, divorces and like that, also have a very difficult time surrendering to Guru and Krishna. I mean, there's something has been damaged. So how does one repair that damage? Or, so one actually again can put
by submissive hearing.
By submissive hearing as well.
Yeah. Submissive hearing. That's where it all begins. By submissive hearing, one's broken heart mends by submissively hearing from the bona fide spiritual master. The Diksha Guru, Siksha Guru is also those who are purely presenting the teachings of Krishna consciousness. If we hear from them, that will heal our tendency, our broken hearts that make us reluctant to put our faith again in anyone or anything. Submissive hearing is the key. And prasadam also. Prasadam. Yeah.
It's that they didn't have the, they have heard, they have put faith, they have done everything, but they did not come to the mode of goodness to develop love with Krishna. Then they get, their faith is broken. If they have developed their relationship with Krishna, then no external thing can break their faith.
No, impossible.
It's not possible.
But I'm mainly talking about like someone coming to Krishna consciousness to take the first step of actually
they see only even this first step. If they see, start seeing fault, then there is no faith.
No.
So the faith has to be developed with Krishna. That what Krishna is saying, here is this person has told me this about Krishna, so I have to develop that loving relationship with Krishna. Human being, we may, tend to make the mistakes. And if we look at that fault, then we have not developed faith anywhere. We have to see that teachings of Krishna is the most important, and that's what I depend on. Doesn't matter it comes from where. Then we can go forward. Otherwise we will always be up and down.
Because many have this that they will not, they'll surrender, but only to someone who is perfect. And I can see you're not perfect, I can see you're not perfect, I can see you're not perfect.
Yeah,
I can't see anyone perfect, so how can I surrender?
That's what it is, because I have a fault-finding tendency.
Precisely.
And how I'm going to... But if we have to see, there is no fault in Krishna's teaching. Everybody will have a fault, but there is no fault in Krishna's teaching. Mm. Krishna promises this, and he will do it for me. Mm. That, we have to come to that understanding. Then only we can go forward, otherwise not. Then the fault, when we see the fault, we'll say, okay, whatever anybody is doing, Krishna has told me this, I'm going to do it. That's it. So the teachings of Krishna is spreading, he's promising me, and I'm going to go forward. That's it. No matter what somebody criticizes or somebody finds fault with them, nothing is going to come. Prabhupada says, what is the Prabhupada says? External things are not that much. What Prabhupada said? Prabhupada said that external situation does not hamper your Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, your anxiety is not due to your external situation. It's due to your lack of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. You can never blame your anxiety on your external situation. It's always your lack of Krishna consciousness that causes anxiety. That's the only thing. Your lack of Krishna consciousness.
And we leave the temple or we give up Krishna consciousness, it's nothing to do with any external situation. It just depends on our Krishna consciousness. How much Krishna conscious we have become. That's what it depends.
That means we got to wrap it up. It's a signal. We have there's some burning, one last question we can do, otherwise we'll wrap it up. Yeah. And one last question.
I was thinking about, because we, in the beginning of this meeting, you mentioned that that we're meeting for Vyasa Puja in half a year or something like that.
October?
Yeah, late October. So just a few people they mentioned they would like to come. So just if anyone is interested.
I'm at least interested and would like to hear more about it.
Yeah. So if someone is interested, maybe I'll just pass this around and you can write your name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I already wrote yours because
okay.
Send it forward.
Plus we have the books here. Anybody wants the books? Mm-hmm. The special is still on today.
I sold one for you.
Okay. All right. Nice. Thank you.
You want the audio?
Oh, yeah. I tried to sell the full package, but he is dead, or only one, but he gave 200 for the small one.
Okay.
I have already
copy. You already picked up the copy?
Yeah, you got a copy. Yeah.
You have your book already? Okay.
Me? Yeah.
Give it to somebody else.
Actually, we also, I mean, not only do I have it, but, you know, we publish a monthly magazine, and we use your book for the, like, letter to the editor with questions and answers. Actually,
what's he saying?
He sold one book to somebody, but he wanted...
On the newspaper.
I'm saying in our...
Your newspaper, you take some quotes out of it?
Yeah, I use...
Oh, that's nice.
We have a, like, letters to the editor with questions.
I'll use two, put some of these in.
If nobody sends a question in for that issue, why not pick up from you?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we got tons of issues in there.
Yeah.
All kinds of issues. Yeah.
I just have a technical question.
Okay.
Because I was trying to find your lecture on Mayapur TV this morning.
Yeah.
That didn't come to the temple.
How to find my lectures?
We have a different.
There was a link to Mayapur.
Sometimes I'm there, but if you want to see videos.
No, live lectures.
The live lectures, you go to startmeeting.com. Startmeeting.com. Startmeeting.com.
Okay.
And
it will come on the ecosystem.
I need to give you the ID number so you know which one to go into. You have something to write it down?
But it's on your
web page,
the ID number.
I don't remember. I can give you the number, right? Let's see, I could... let's see if I have it here.
I'm going every day.
You want to write this down on a piece of paper? 759. Anybody wants to come on the class tomorrow? If you're not here... the next two mornings.
It would be best thing if they can come here.
Best thing is to come here, but if you can't, you're living too far away, go to startmeeting.com and 749.
But they have to download Start Meeting.
That's not a problem if they log in on their computer.
Yeah.
749-247-223. What's the easiest way to do this? The easiest way, let's see. Oh, yeah, anybody who wants to sign up for my free e-course actually can do it right now on this. I can pass around my iPhone. Anybody wants my e-course who wants to be in my free e-course? Just put your name and email address in there and you'll be enrolled right away. And then what you do is you go to your email and click the email to reconfirm this was actually you. It wasn't spam. Somebody did it in your name. I'm trying to remember if I have a page for it. Didn't I have a special page for it? Where's my computer?
I
think I have a special page just... Livelecture.com. I think to make it easy, yeah. Everybody, don't go yet. I created a web page just to make it easy. Turn it on. Plug it in. I think I created a URL for it to make it easier instead of learning the number. I did double check. It's been a while, but let's see. Once we get on the internet, I can tell you. Okay, have anything coming here? I think it's livelectures.net, but I'm going to double check.
Yeah, it's livelectures.com.
Net or com?
Net.
Let's double check. Make sure we're not giving them a bump steer here.
Livelectures.net.
The gateway, it's called 4G gateway, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
What's the name of our thing. Let's see. What's the name of yours? Is it 4G Gateway? Oh, there it is. I got it now. I'm on. Okay. All right. So I think it's called livelectures.net. I'm going to just double check it right now. I set this up so you don't have to bother with those numbers. You just go. I have a web page I just set up just for this purpose. But I'm just double checking it. Let's see. Live lectures.
.net.
I think so, yeah. Let's see. Live. There it is. Yep. Very simple. Livelectures.net. That's all you got to do.
No, that's a link.
That's a link.
Go to livelectures.net, and all you got to do is click join. You'll see. This is what you'll see. Just click the little box join, and you'll be right in. Mm-hmm. I give the schedule here for Copenhagen over here. Just go to livelectures.net, and you'll see the startmeeting.com. Just click on join. You can come into the class. Livelectures.net. That's all you got to do. And you say join. You click on join. You can do it on your smartphone. You can do it on your iPad, on your computer. It'll work on wherever you go. Any of those will work. Livelectures.net. LiveLectures.net. And you'll be right in. And I have this. We have you broadcast in different parts of the world. We just did a two months lecture series from Austin. For 2 whole months we were doing it every morning. I don't know what we're going to do in Vrindavan yet. It depends on the internet connection. But we'll send out a broadcast. Anybody who signs up for my e-course right now, you'll get a broadcast every time we have the live lectures again, so you'll know.